As I mentioned every year, it's hard to imagine that a year went by since I gave the shiur. But time does move. In Parshas Mishpotim, one of the places in the Torah which discusses Korban Pesach, the celebration of Pesach, so there we find this Chag HaMatzos Tishmor. We'll come back to that in a moment. Shivas Yomim Tochel Matzos Ka'asher Tzibisicho, as I commanded you. We find a very parallel pasuk in Parshas Kisiso, where again it talks about Pesach. And there it says, Es Chag HaMatzos Tishmor, again, Es Chag HaMatzos Tishmor, just as we had in Parshas Mishpotim. And then Shivas Yomim Tochel Matzos Asher Tzibisicho, that I have commanded you. In Parshas Mishpotim we read Ka'asher Tzibisicho, as I have commanded you. And here it says Asher Tzibisicho, that I have commanded you. So what accounts for the change in the pasuk? Same pasuk, it's Chag HaMatzos Tishmor. In Parshas Mishpotim it says Asher Tzibisicho, that I have commanded you. And in Parshas Kisiso says Ka'asher Tzibisicho, as I have commanded you. Haloi Dovru, there's nothing in the Torah that's idle. Ramei Asimcha Zatzal, it is Meshech Chochma. G'doylei Olam appreciated every nuance in Torah. Every phrase, every letter was accounted for. Nothing went by unnoticed. And Ramei Asimcha tells us that the reason that in Parshas Mishpotim we have Kasher Tzivisicho, in Kisisa we have Kasher Tzivisicho, is because in between these two parshiyos the Egel took place. So what's the relevance of that? Matzah, he quotes, he cites a Yerushalmi that Matzah had to do with Avodah Zarah. It was part of the celebration of Avodah Zarah, and the denial of the Ribbono Shel Olam was included chametz, not included matz, included chametz. Chametz was part of the process by which the Ovdei Avodah Zarah brought their sacrifices. And it's rather interesting then that we find that the Torah specifically tells us ki cholsar v'chol dvash lo saktiru mimenu isha l'Hashem, that chametz can never be brought on the Mizbeach. It can never be brought as a korban. It's midarkei avodah zarah, the Gemara tells, the Rishalmi tells us. And therefore, Pesach Mitzrayim, when we lived in the midst of a non-Jewish culture, we were steeped in the practices of idolatry. As the Malachim said when we left Mitzrayim, halolu avodah zarah, halolu avodah zarah. We do not seem to be distinguishable from the Egyptians. So there we needed the Korban Pesach to separate us. As Rashi says in Parshas Bo, Mishchu Kulachem Tzon, that we'll read on the first day of Yontif, Mishchu Yedeichem and Avodah Zarah. Part of the process of the rejection of Avodah Zarah, we slaughtered the Korban Pesach, which the lamb was the deity of Mitzrayim, and we involved ourselves with matzah rather than chometz. No Ovid Avodah was self-respecting, Ovid Avodah Zarah would bring such a korban. So in Mitzrayim we needed to bring a korban to separate ourselves and to be involved in matzah to separate ourselves from the heathen world around us. We came to Mitzrayim to Chorev, to Har Sinai, and there we were no longer in Mitzrayim. This was in the past. Ribbono Shel Olam says, now you only need kasher tzivisicho. Remember what you had done in Mitzrayim and involve yourself in the celebration of Pesach as a remembrance of what took place in Mitzrayim. But it's not practical at the moment. After we sinned at the Egel and we slipped back into Avodah Zarah, now it's no longer a remembrance of what took place in Mitzrayim. It's Asher Tzivisicho, that it's just we have to celebrate the Korban Pesach now just as we had to celebrate it in Mitzrayim itself. Because we have to reinforce within ourselves, just as they had in Mitzrayim, the segregation from Avodah Zarah. It comes out as rather strange that the celebration of Pesach al Admas Necha outside Eretz Yisrael at a time when there is no Korban Pesach is in a way closer to the original, to the celebration of Pesach in Mitzrayim, than when we celebrate it in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash is merely to remind us of where we've come from, that we separated ourselves from the world of Avodah Zarah, and we should keep going in that direction. When we're on Admas Necha, we're in a world of foreign cultures, a world with all types of ideologies that are foreign to us, there we need Asher Tzivisicha. Just as we needed it in Mitzrayim, we need the celebration of Pesach to assert ourselves, to find ourselves. As the Kotzka Zatzal once gloriously said, he traveled all across Poland. Difficult to travel in those days, to come to the Kotzka Rebbe in Kotzk. And the Kotzka Rebbe asked him, what did you come here for? So he was rather stunned. I mean, Hasidim from all over Poland came to the Kotzka Rebbe. He said, what did I come here for? He said, I came here to find the Rebbeinu Shalala. I'm looking for him. The Rebbe should help me discover him. So the Rebbe said, Ashad dein kumen, you wasted your time, you should have stayed home. The Rebbeinu Shalom is Malay Chalaretz Kveida. You can find the Rebbeinu Shalom everywhere. So he said, so why does anyone come to Kotsk? He says, you come to Kotsk, he said, to find yourself, not to find the Rebbeinu Shalom. In the Golas, we celebrate Pesach to find ourselves, to remind ourselves of what we are, what we should be, and perhaps of some of the baggage that we pick up along the way that it's good to jettison. So we celebrate Pesach as in Pesach Mitzrayim Asher Tzivisicha. This is the original. Pesach is to remind us that all the things that we believe in this world are all specious. They're all fallacies. The world believes in power. The world believes in technology. Moshe Rabbeinu came to Mitzrayim for what reason? A musician wants to show his stuff today. Well, you know, if he goes to Peoria, Illinois, and he's a big hit, so big deal. You know, you want to show you something, so you get on the stage in London, you appear on Broadway, and there you made it. You're something about you. You claim you're a big doctor, don't tell us what you did in the jungles of Kenya. You know, come to the major centers, come to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and in the presence of all of the experts there, do your thing. And if you stand that test, then you're something. What you did in Kenya, big deal. Moshe Rabbeinu came, the Rebbeinu Shalom sent him to the greatest power of its time. Mitzrayim was in every regard the most sophisticated, it was the most powerful country, the wealthiest country, the most technologically advanced. Even in the darker arts that they believed in that time, Mitzrayim was the Chatumim, they were unmatched in the world. If you want to represent the Rebbeinu Shalom, you can't go on a small-time stage. You know, some small-time charlatan can show up anywhere and put on a show and impress them, smoke and mirrors. But to make it in Mitzrayim, this is where they were experts in everything that the world was, the forerunners of the world's technology, of religion, of mysticism, of the dark arts. If Moshe Rabbeinu could prevail on that stage, the Ksav Sofer tells us, then he was for real. But at the Rebbeinu, let's look at the world around us, Rabbi Yisrael. We believe in two things in today's world, ultimately. Power and technology. And power and technology spell themselves out in a third dimension. We live in a world which none of us can comprehend today. Meluchas, the wealthiest meluchas in the world in a certain regard. The Arab oil powers. The whole world is in turmoil. None of us know how this is going to come out. But places of stability where kingdoms that have ruled for 200 years and more, some of them, they're up in flames. and no one knows what tomorrow is going to bring. A huge part of the world is suddenly just upside down, and a critical part of the world for all of us. But you might say, listen, the Arabs have money, but they're still in the 14th century. Some regards. What are we going to say about Japan? The world's technological giant. One of the most advanced countries in the world. Wealth. Its economy. Its technology. Its chokhmah. Unparalleled. From the elite countries in the world. The Rabbeinu Shalom came in one day. The earth shook for a few seconds. The sea came up. And we don't know if Japan's going to be inhabitable or uninhabitable for the next 100 years. No one knows. Everything that the world believes in, the Rabbeinu Shalom gave a couple of little twists out of nowhere, and the world is upside down. The realization that everything is in the hands of the Rabbeinu Shalom. All the things that are a yesh in this world, the stability, the power, the wealth, the technology. We just put on the news in the morning and we have no idea what to make of it. What will come forth from it? We hope that the Rabbeinu Shalom will be benevolent, that for Klal Yisrael it will prove somehow to be good. But we need a lot of tefillah for that. The book is still open as to what's going to happen, how it's going to play out. None of us know. Not only we don't know, in the greatest seats of power in the world, they have no idea. The White House is as clueless as we are as to what's going to happen. They have no idea. We need a certain realization. Sab Sefer, in a very lengthy explanation, Parshas B'Shalach tells us, Ki kasher re'isem es Mitzrayim hayayim, lo sosifun l'roisem aroilom. As you've seen Egypt today, you will never see them again in this fashion. And he gives a lengthy explanation of this pasuk. The gist of what he says is why did the Rabbeinu Shalom bring about the fact that Mitzrayim and its armies started to pursue us? Would not it have been more benevolent for Klal Yisrael that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam left Paro overawed and the Mitzrayim decided to stay in Mitzrayim and let us leave? What was the Rabbeinu Shalom's purpose in arousing the ire of Paro, and Paro now was chasing after us with his armor division, Sheish Meyos Rechav Bochum, 600 chariots, his armor divisions were chasing after us. For what reason did the Rabbeinu Shel Olam subject us to that? Would it not have been more benevolent that Paro should remain frightened and stay at home? He says, but the Rabbeinu Shel Olam understood Klal Yisrael. When we face difficulty, what thought crossed our minds? Nitna Rosh v'nashuva Mitzrayim. Let's go back to Mitzrayim. But after Mitzrayim pursued us, so we realized there was no turning back. We will have no desire to go back in that direction. That's closed, that avenue. So we can only look forward. The Rabbeinu Shalom placed us in such circumstances that we realize that we can only depend on the Rabbeinu Shalom himself. There's no other way out. And Rabbi said, that's the world that we live in. Our situation in the world is difficult, without any doubt. You know, the crescendo of anti-Jewishness and anti-Semitism is at a level that none of us are used to. Now, Alan Dershowitz, in his book, The Case for Israel, defines it very well. He says, the anti-Israel rhetoric of today is the national anti-Semitism that has plagued the Jewish people throughout the millennia. In a national sense, it's now directed against the state of the Jews. But it's no different than the classical anti-Semitism. It's as ugly and as pernicious as it's been throughout history. That's the world that we live in. But we live in a world as where we clearly see that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam pulls the strings. Power and technology, those that bear it are humbled. They don't know what tomorrow brings for them. So we realize we're in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam sense. So we approach the Chag of Pesach as we approached it always in history. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is accessible to us. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the Goyal Yisrael. And as the Nesivus writes in his Agada, in the promise of Yitzias Mitzrayim, is not only that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will take us out of Mitzrayim, but that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will redeem us from every diaspora that we will face in Jewish history. That Rabbeinu Shel Olam that stood by Avram HaIvri, we stand at a similar point today. The Ivri against the entire world. But Baruch Hashem, unfrightened and unbowed. But if we're level-headed people, then we pour out our hearts to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for his assistance. That's all that we have, but that's all that we need, is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself. So the Chag of Pesach is to bring into focus the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's role in the world. That at a point that we were very weak and subjugated by the greatest power in the world, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam subjugated the world's greatest power and brought us forth. And that's our entire history. Pesach is the history of the Jewish people. As we approach the Chag, we ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to enable us to fulfill the mitzvahs of Chag in appropriate fashion, that we should merit the bracha that comes from this Chag.